You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Football Astronauts. I am your host today, Guy Fieri. You can catch me on Twitter at FF_Flavortown. And welcome back. We had an exciting week two, and we're on to week three. If you're listening to this, you probably caught the Jaguars-Dolphins game last night. And so there will be a little bit of new information coming out. So I'm giving you my information. I'm giving you my opinions based off of what's happening before this game. So if you are hearing this after, just a heads up on that. To start the show off, we are going to send it on over to Deepak to give us the injury breakdown for week two.
Welcome to your week two NFL injury report. I'm Dr. Deepak Chona with Sports Med Analytics. Let's dive in. Christian McCaffrey has a high ankle sprain. They're saying he's out 4 to 6 weeks. NFL data says the average time missed is 3, so if the Panthers can stay competitive, expect him back in week 7. They're 0-2, and if they keep losing, target week 9 for his return. Jimmy Garoppolo also has a high ankle sprain, but his seems less severe and quarterback play is generally less affected by the injury. We don't expect him to play in week 3, but do anticipate a return to pretty much full strength in week 4. Michael Thomas is now 1 week into dealing with a high ankle sprain as well. Reports say that he might suit up this weekend, but it seems unlikely since the NFL average is 3 weeks missed with this injury. Niners tight end George Kittle missed last week because of an MCL sprain and bone bruise. His return is mostly based on symptoms, and he's reportedly improving quickly, so we expect to see him return this coming week. Saquon Barkley tore his ACL, now is of course out for the year. Really terrible news, but best wishes to him. More on his outlook for next year coming later this week. Devontae Adams left mid-game against Detroit with a hamstring injury, but we expect him to be at full strength in week 3. Niners running back Raheem Mostert sprained his MCL and will miss week 3. The sprain was reportedly not severe, so it's not unrealistic to see him in week 4, although we don't expect him to be at full strength until week 5. His teammate Tevin Coleman is also out, but we're awaiting the results of his MRI to know his outlook. Colts wide receiver Paris Campbell had a knee injury reportedly involving MCL and PCL. From the footage and initial reporting, we unfortunately think he's going to be out for the season, but nothing officially has been announced yet. And finally, Will Fuller V, superstar receiver of the Houston Texans and one of our very favorite players, left and re-entered the game on Sunday because of a hamstring injury. He'll probably still play in week 3, but this news, in addition to his history, definitely elevates our concerns about him missing time at some point this season. Big time sell high candidate for us in trades, especially if he happens to have a big game in the next couple of weeks. And that's all we've got for today. If you enjoy what you see, please like, share, and subscribe. If you need to know about another player, comment below and we'll add him to our next edition. Until then, go dominate your league.
Okay, so let's get into week 3 here. There are a couple interesting NFL games just from the NFL standpoint, not necessarily from a fantasy, but there should be a good amount of points scored for your fantasy teams. Now, if you had one of these big running backs that went down, you're going to have needed to pay attention during training camp, to pay attention to the depth chart, because there are still, I'm looking at these waivers. I have people sending me questions, showing me the waiver wire constantly, and there are so many good players that just aren't being picked up. Tyler Boyd. I saw Tyler Boyd was a free agent still, and I have no idea how that was possible. Jerick McKinnon was available, and so it's just like people are not paying attention. Your casual fantasy gamer is not paying attention to some of these injuries, and this is where you can really capitalize and knowing these matchups. So the first big one that I see is the Bengals versus the Eagles, and I think this is where Joe Burrow can really get his first win. He's played pretty well, and last game against the Browns, he actually looked pretty solid. He threw something like 65 passes, which was ridiculous. And so I think against a pretty bad Eagles secondary and just a generally not a great team this year, you can start most Bengals players with confidence this week. I think this is going to be a time where Carson Wentz and Joe Burrow sling it out. I think Miles Sanders will likely have a big game. You saw, oh my gosh, Miles Sanders. Initially, when I was recording or when I was making my notes for this episode, I thought Jonathan Taylor would be the RB1 this week. And just thinking about how Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt absolutely abused the Bengals last week, Miles Sanders this week could score like 75 points. You absolutely have to have Miles Sanders in every single DFS lineup, but that's besides the point. Miles Sanders is just an absolute slam dunk this week. It's going to be great for Bengals pass catchers. And I think you're going to see, AJ Green. This is kind of the make or break it week for him. This is where we say, okay, is he a guy that's going to have success this season? Because this is a banged up Eagles secondary. This is a game where you could see just a gunslinging effort by both quarterbacks. I'm really hoping for a high scoring game here. But I think Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon are pretty solid starts in this game. I think Tyler Boyd is probably the safest start out of everyone on the Bengals. But I really like Joe Burrow this week. I think he's a great streaming option for teams. And if you are really looking for quarterback help, Joe Burrow's a guy that you could slot in there and feel pretty comfortable. The other spot that you want to go to is now that Jalen Reagor is likely out with this thumb injury for several weeks, there's not a ton going on there. Greg Ward is a great stash to grab. He was a Carson Wentz favorite last year at the end of the season, so if you don't have him on your rosters, go grab him now before this game starts. He's a guy that could see a lot of volume. And then I think both Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert can be started again with confidence this week. Now, this is going to depend a lot on Carson Wentz's accuracy and his ability to deliver the ball. But I think those are your two top pass-catching options, and then Miles Sanders, right? And you have Miles Sanders, who's going to get just a crap ton of volume this week in the pass game, and you have both tight ends, and I think what they're going to end up doing is running a lot of two tight end sets up there, and you could see both Goddard and Ertz get 10 targets. You know, that would not be outside of the realm of possibilities is Goddard and Ertz both being tight end ones this week. And that's kind of ridiculous to say, but they don't have any other real pass catching options there. DeSean Jackson, while good, is not getting it done. Alshon Jeffrey still banged up, although he is practicing this week. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I've never been sold on him. It's really DeSean Watson, Greg Ward, and that's pretty much it. So I think the big takeaway from this is anyone wearing stripes, anyone in the Bengals jersey, I think is probably a good play here. And you really, I'm just not trusting anyone but Ertz and Goddard and Sanders here. Greg Ward, I think, is a pretty decent free space player. He's not going to be very expensive in DFS, but I don't know, except if I'm really, really in a pinch, I don't know if I would play him in seasonal leagues. So I'm going to give the Bengals the slight edge here because they have more receiving weapons. But look for Miles Sanders to have an absolute blowout game, 200 yards rushing, 300 yards rushing, like something ridiculous. And I think that's kind of where you're going to see this game go is Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, all of them scoring the touchdowns, all of them getting all the yards, and Joe Burrow continuing to spread the ball around. Now let's talk about the Niners and the Giants, because these are two teams that have had some unfortunate things happen. You have the Niners pretty banged up. Jimmy Garoppolo not looking like he's going to start. George Kittle, kind of a game day decision, it's going to look like. And Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, both out. So Jerick McKinnon is a very, very enticing option. Now, he's kind of a risky play because we don't know the type of volume he's going to get. We do know that he is a big splash play guy. And if he's getting 10-plus touches, it feels like a pretty good flex play, but that's kind of what you have to weigh the risk in is, do you think he's going to get the 10 plus touches? I think there's a good chance. I think the Giants are not going to run a ton of offensive plays. And so you're going to see the 49ers with backup quarterback Nick Mullins, who, if you have talked to Jetpack in at any length, you know that Nick Mullins is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in his eyes. you have Jerick McKinnon is likely going to be the primary guy there. If he can stay healthy, right? That's the biggest concern. He's never really had the true workhorse running back role all to himself. So I think Jerick McKinnon is a very good option there. And we'll see with Brandon Ayuk. He looked slow to start, but you know, I'm still optimistic on his career as a whole. You're not going to be able to judge him after really one game, but he looked slow out there. He looked hesitant. He didn't look like the guy that had all the flash. Now with the Giants, this one is interesting. With Saquon Barkley out and he wasn't having a good season, do you start Deion Lewis this week? I don't think you do. Right, he's not a guy that I think is going to have success. I don't think they're going to have a ton of success running the ball, especially, I mean, even with the banged up 49ers defense, they still made a couple moves here, and I think they're going to be solid. The Giants run game is just not something I want to invest in, so I'm pretty much staying away from Deion Lewis. The guys that are really interesting to me are Darius Slayton and Golden Tate, and those are the two guys that I think, and Evan Ingram to some extent, although he looked pretty bad against the Bears defense last week, did not look like he had the same shake and wiggle, kind of looked like Jason Garrett wasn't using him properly, so I'm a little bit hesitant there. But I think once Daniel Jones started to find Golden Tate, once Daniel Jones started to look at Darius Slayton, that's where they started to have success last week against the Bears. So I think you'll see a little bit more of that. I think you're going to see them trend away from that run game. It has not been a strong suit for them, and I don't see why they would continue to push it, especially when you have your starting running back go down. You might as well just throw one of your running backs back there, add an extra blocker for Daniel Jones, and let him make some plays, because that's where they really had successes, not when they were running the ball. It was when they're letting Daniel Jones get back there, toss the rock a little bit, make some plays happen with his feet. And so I think if you start to let the offense revolve around Daniel Jones, you're going to see guys like Golden Tate and Darius Slayton start to have success. I don't think it's going to be a very high scoring game, so I'm not super enticed by any of those guys this week. Jerick McKinnon is probably the sexiest option there, and while I do love some Jet McKinnon, it's still kind of a risky play. I think the overall plays will be low. I think the 49ers are going to try and milk the clock. It's not an appealing game. It's kind of probably my ugh game of the week. Both just banged up teams, and I don't really want any part of this in either DFS or my regular leagues. Jerick McKinnon's probably the only guy that I feel very comfortable starting, and then you have Darius Slayton, you have Golden Tate kind of after that, but that's kind of where I fall with that. Let's bump around a little bit. I think the Raiders-Patriots game is going to be a fun one, just NFL-wise. Again, you're not getting a ton of fantasy production outside of Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs. That's pretty much it with the Raiders. They were limited in practice, and I don't even know if they practiced on Thursday. And then on the Patriots, you have Julian Edelman, Cam Newton, and that's about it. And so you're getting some solid production. It's more about, can the Raiders continue this streak? They beat a tough Saints team this past week in prime time. Can they turn around? Can they turn around on a short week and beat the Patriots? And I think that's going to be a tall task. I think the Patriots probably squeeze one out here. You got a young, very young team in the Raiders. And I don't know if they're going to be able to turn it around and beat the Patriots after this short week. Bears-Falcons. Now, this is one, outside of the fact that I am a Bears fan, this is one that is appealing because I think the Falcons put up a ton of points just consistently. Like, Matt Ryan has been electric. Bears defense is good, but the Falcons offense has been absolutely electric this year. And so I expect the Bears to have to come out and either control the clock with David Montgomery, which I think they will try to do. I think he's going to get plenty of touches this week, especially with how good he looked last week. And they're also, Mitch is going to have to sling it a little bit. And so I really like the pass catchers from the Falcons, and I really like all the Bears offensive players. I'm not super high on Mitch. I think he'll probably make a mistake or two, but I'm pretty bullish on David Montgomery, and I'm pretty excited about Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller. And I don't know. Maybe you want to play a Russell Gage or a Darnell Mooney in DFS as a cheap guy, because I think the score, at least on the Falcons side, is going to be pretty high. They've been playing pretty well on offense, and so I think the Bears are going to have to step up their game. They're going to have to step up the number of plays that they run, and I think that is a mix for fantasy success. Allen Robinson needs to bounce back after this week. Did not have a great game last week, and I think he's going to rebound. So I like anyone in this game. You know, if you have them on your roster, go ahead and feel comfortable starting Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, who should have had 60 yards and a touchdown last week. Feel comfortable starting either of those two. Feel comfortable starting David Montgomery, Julio, Ridley, Russell Gage, Matt Ryan, Todd Gurley maybe. He has not looked good. But that's kind of, you're kind of, this is one of the games where I think you're going to like all the players. Now, Bills-Rams, that one, I think the Bills get a chance to prove themselves. The Rams, you're looking at Daryl Henderson probably toting the rock quite a bit. Malcolm Brown maybe getting some goal line carries. But Daryl Henderson looked very good last week. He looked explosive, looked like the guy that we saw out of college. Now, I don't know if he's ready for a workhorse load. I think when Cam Akers comes back healthy, he's going to eat into that. I think Cam Akers probably the better back, but you have big play ability in Daryl Henderson, so I like that. Bills defense is really banged up. You have to keep that in mind. So I like anybody on the Rams offense this week. The Bills defense is super banged up, and while I am a Bills supporter, I don't know if they squeak this one out. This is one that I think it is going to be tough for them, and you're really going to see if Josh Allen can lead a team to victory, because they're playing a pretty solid team in the Rams. 2-0 versus 2-0, so one of these teams leaves with their first loss, and I think the Rams come out on top. They're a little bit less injured, and you know, I think Stephon Diggs on Jalen Ramsey is going to be great. So John Brown actually probably a very good start this week. Jalen Ramsey is a shadow corner, and so he's gonna try and shut down Stephon Diggs. Zach Moss being out is difficult for this team, because now you have Devin Singletary handling the workload a little bit more. So the Bills team is just a little bit of a mess, and so the guys that I really like are anyone on the Rams offense. I'm a big fan of anyone on the Rams offense. I think they're going to play well. I think you're going to get Daryl Henderson having a good day, Malcolm Brown probably having a good day, and then any of the wide receivers. But on the Bills side, I think you probably start John Brown over Stephon Diggs. And as crazy as that might be, John Brown has something like 140 yards and a touchdown through two games and two touchdowns through two games. So he's a guy that I think he's a viable starting option. I don't think he's getting enough respect. Josh Allen consistently looks to him in the end zone and has been putting some pretty bad balls on him. So I think he's a guy that I would like to start if anyone on the Bills offense this week. I think it's going to be one of their tougher matchups. And I think just as of right now, the Rams have the edge. So like all the Rams options, really like John Brown this week. That's kind of my surprise of the week, is John Brown feels like a very, very good play. He's a great receiver. Don't forget when he had 200 yards and like two touchdowns in a game back when he was a rookie, right? We forget how good John Brown really was. He sat out week 16 or week 17 last year because they didn't need him to play. So he ended up with just barely over 1,000 yards. But you're looking at a guy who, had he played all 16 games last season, would have been 1,100 yards receiving and add another touchdown in there. You know, so he's a good receiver, and he's already 140 yards and two touchdowns on the year. I think John Brown, if you're going to start someone on the Bills offense, John Brown is going to be the play there, because I think Stephon Diggs is going to be just mugged by Jalen Ramsey. And I think it'll be a good matchup. I think Stephon Diggs will win some. I think Jalen Ramsey's going to win some. But I think you will get Josh Allen throwing the ball away from Jalen Ramsey and thus funneling the ball to John Brown. Maybe some Gabe Davis. Maybe some Gabriel Davis in there. And I like Gabriel Davis a lot. He's shown pretty good flashes. And so John Brown, Gabriel Davis, pretty attractive options there. So let's talk about Texans Steelers real quick, just to get the obligatory. It's on the slate. This one, not a ton to say. I think you're going to see James Conner continue to rack up yards. I think you're going to have a good day by Will Fuller. The defensive backfield from the Steelers has been fine, but not extraordinary. Again, it's a chance. It's where you see, do the Houston Texans turn this around, and are the Pittsburgh Steelers legit, right? It's been a crazy couple games. But you have seen the Texans show flashes. You have seen the Steelers show flashes. And so if you start 3-0 as the Steelers, that's a good start. You are now a very good team, right? Beating Deshaun Watson is a feat. Beating Deshaun Watson is a difficult thing to do, and Deshaun Watson has had a couple tough games. And so I expect Will Fuller to bounce back. I expect Will Fuller to have a good game this week, and I expect James Conner to have a really good game this week. Not super exciting for me. Deontay Johnson, you've seen, has gotten a 30% market share. So that's an exciting guy. Juju, you know, there are a lot of fantasy options here on the Steelers' side of the ball. On the Texans, it's just kind of difficult. It doesn't feel like a game where I'm super excited, but I do think Deshaun Watson has a good game, right? I think Will Fuller is going to see some volume. I think Brandon Cook's going to see some volume, and I think you're going to slowly see these pass catchers get into a rhythm without a true alpha. Deshaun Watson's going to have to spread it around, and so I think not having that true alpha that they've always had. It's going to be a little bit of a struggle for them to get in sync, or it has been. And so I think you'll start to see them get into a little bit more of a rhythm as the season goes on. So real starts from that game, I guess, Will Fuller and James Conner would be my top two. And then you get Deontay Johnson, you get Juju Smith-Schuster. I think the Steelers probably win that game. But again, it's tough to win a football game, and anything can happen. But I think the Steelers have the edge there. All right, I'm getting out of breath here. I'm talking a lot. It's difficult when I don't have Jetpack with me because our schedules haven't matched up super well. So hopefully this upcoming week we can match things up and get him back on here. All right, so let's finish up this week's slate. We have the Titans at the Vikings, and now Adam Thielen did not put up a ton of fantasy points last week. I do expect that to turn around. He's posting a ridiculous percentage of his team's targets, and he's a phenomenal receiver. You have to think that turns around. It's not going to stay that way for Adam Thielen. He had a phenomenal week one. Week two was a little bit of a bummer. I expect him to bounce back, and he's still probably a top 10, if not a top 5 option every week. And despite how bad the Vikings are, he's the only pass catcher on that team. And I know Gary Kubiak said that the Vikings have to run the ball more, and that is all systems go for Dalvin Cook. It always has been. Alexander Mattison might see a little bit of love in there too, but it's really all systems go for Dalvin Cook. But, you know, Adam Thielen, still a top fantasy option every week. You have to be starting him just based on the volume that he's going to get and the pure a number of passing attempts that the Vikings are going to have to use because their team is so bad. They're not a good defense. I'm sorry. Their defense is terrible. You should never start their defense. And so I think Adam Thielen, you're going to see him be a top 10 fantasy option week in, week out. There may be a week or two where they just target on him defensively, and he's bracketed with defensive backs, but even still, he's going to find ways to win. Even still, Kirk Cousins is going to feed him the ball. That's all there has to be said. Right now, there are only two options on the Vikings, and that's Adam Thielen and that's Dalvin Cook, and that's it. Anyone else can be discarded for the most part. Anyone else, just an afterthought. Now, the Titans have a good number of targets. They have a good number of options here. And so I think Ryan Tannehill is another excellent, excellent streaming option at quarterback this week. The Vikings defense is miserable. Jonnu Smith, I expect to have another good game. The defensive backs are banged up. It's just it's just not a good situation for the Vikings defense. And so I think Corey Davis, I think Jonnu Smith, and I think Derrick Henry is also going to have a bounce back week. Jonnu, I think we have to consider him as a top five tight end for the rest of the season, right? And I mean, I know there's some touchdown variance here, but especially when AJ Brown is gone, Jonnu Smith seems to be a target hog here. Jonnu Smith is absolutely producing, is a great yak guy. He kind of fills in, not completely that AJ Brown yak, but he does a great job with that yards after the catch, and he's a big bodied guy. He's a phenomenal athlete. He can stay on the field all three downs. And so Jonnu Smith, I think, has snuck into the conversation of, can he keep this up all season? Can he move into that top five tight end range? We've been hype on him for a little while. He's got the Delanie Walker comps, and now he's finally broken out, and I am thrilled. I have Jonnu in a lot of places. I was all in on him this season as my tight end, and I could not be happier. So I think Jonnu Smith, you have to kind of now tread lightly. I don't want to jump ahead of anything, but you have to think, all right, can this guy be a top five tight end for Dynasty? And I think there's a chance you might find that. I think there's a chance he could sneak in to that Ertz tier, that right behind Waller. Like, I think that is an option. So that's all I really have to say about the Titans-Vikings. Ryan Tannehill, great streaming option. Inexpensive. He's probably on waivers most places, but he's going to score points. And I think the Titans should win that game pretty handily. The Panthers. Panthers-Chargers. Now, this is a weird one because you have Christian McCaffrey, who's on IR, and you have Tyrod Taylor, who's likely not going to start. So you have the guy that's that has been the powerhouse of this offense is no longer there, and you have that against a rookie quarterback. Now, I think Justin Herbert played phenomenally last week against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, but you know, teams don't have time to prepare for you. Now they have a week of film on him, and I think they're going to be a little bit more prepared for Justin Herbert. But what is really going to be interesting is the Panthers' offensive scheme. Now you have Mike Davis in there as a starting running back, and I don't think it's feed Mike Davis time. I think it's feed DJ Moore time, and I think DJ Moore is going to be the biggest beneficiary of Christian McCaffrey being out. DJ Moore is the next biggest playmaker on that team. And when your star isn't there, you lean on the next guy. And even though Teddy Bridgewater, you know, isn't known for being this gunslinger, I think DJ Moore is going to get considerable volume. And I think as long as Christian McCaffrey's out, I think you can probably lock him into a top 10 volume option on any given week. And so I think DJ Moore moving forward, not that we had any doubts about his talent, he's been phenomenal. The volume that he should see, and that was the big concern I had when Teddy Bridgewater came in as a starting quarterback, was what was his volume going to be like? How were his targets going to be? And I think we can probably lock him into top 10 volume every single week. And with his talent, that's huge. With his talent, I think that's just an absolute smash start every week. DFS, he's going to be probably a good value for another week or so. And if you're looking to buy someone in redraft, I think, or even in Dynasty, I think now is, I mean, every week is the new lowest time you can buy DJ Moore. He's just going to continue to explode. And I think with all the uncertainty with Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore is going to be the guy. For the Chargers, I expect Hunter Henry to have a big week. Keenan Allen's going to be force-fed the ball, but I expect Hunter Henry to have another good week, and it's only a good thing for Austin Eckler if Justin Herbert is the starting quarterback. So if Justin Herbert's the starting quarterback, Austin Eckler is going to be used in a major way, and he got more target. He got more production when Justin Herbert was the quarterback versus when Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback. And so I think as long as Justin Herbert is the quarterback, you're looking at a borderline RB1. And that is exactly what we wanted from Austin Eckler. That's exactly what you drafted him for. Now, we get to accept, and I'm debating, is it Jonathan Taylor or is it Miles Sanders that is going to score the most points this week? And it's difficult because the Jets are so bad right now. Somebody please free Sam Darnold. He does not deserve to be on this team. I think Sam Darnold is actually a good player, but oh my goodness, are the Jets bad and are the Jets injured? Braxton Berrios is going to be their wide receiver one. I mean, he's fine, but like, would he start on many other teams? Would he be even the number three option on many other teams? I don't know. There are so many teams where he would not be even the number three option, maybe not even the number four option. Jonathan Taylor this week, when the Colts get up big, Jonathan Taylor is going to absolutely eat. You have, I mean, if you couldn't buy Jonathan Taylor last week, this is going to be your last chance to buy Jonathan Taylor. He is going to be Saquon Barkley level expensive. Not that I think he is Saquon Barkley level talent. He's going to be Saquon Barkley level expensive after this week. You have to get Jonathan Taylor on your roster at all costs. At all costs, get Jonathan Taylor on your roster. That's he's going to be the top scorer this week. I have no doubt about that. Three touchdowns, infinity yards. Like, he is just going to run all over the place. The Jets are not, I mean, oh gosh, the Jets are just a miserable franchise right now and need to be turned around. Adam Gase needs to be fired. That's golly. Jonathan Taylor, if you, oh my goodness, I cannot say enough about how crazy Jonathan Taylor is going to go this game. He's going to go buck wild, and I am here for it. I'm here for Quentin Nelson running through a dude's face and Jonathan Taylor just taking it to the house after that. I mean, this is going to be an exciting, exciting game to watch. Cowboys Seahawks. I expect the Seahawks to win this game, but I mean, all pass catchers for the Cowboys are good options. Zeke and all pass catchers for the Seahawks. This is going to be another high scoring game. Both defenses have not been as advertised. And so I think you're going to see a lot of fantasy production out of these two teams, especially with both quarterbacks being so proficient, with both wide receiver cores being so incredible. I mean, I think this is going to be just maybe the highest scoring game of the week. I think this and the Chiefs-Ravens game could be the highest scoring game of the week. Very, very excited for this one. Start everyone. Start. I mean, this is going to be the stack that you want. You want the Seahawks and the Cowboys in all of your DFS lineups. It's going to be such a fun, exciting game to watch. So make sure you have all the Cowboys pass catchers, all the Seahawks pass catchers. Make sure you have them all in your DFS lineups. It's the stacks here are going to be incredible. Russ is going to be expensive. Dak is going to be expensive. Pair Dak with CD, pair Dak with Gallup, right? It doesn't matter. They're all going to get fed. This is going to be a great game. Obviously you're not sitting anyone in this game. Lions, Cardinals. Cardinals should win this one with relative ease. The Lions are not a great team. They've been banged up as well. I don't trust that backfield yet for the Lions. DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray, obviously just starts that you have to make every week. They look to be perfectly in sync, and DeAndre Hopkins looks to be in a spot where he's going to be a top three fantasy wide receiver. And Kyler Murray looks like there's a lot of talk, and it's right now, if you had to pick, it's Russell Wilson or it's Kyler Murray is the MVP leaders, because they're both playing out of their mind. And so Kyler Murray, I think, is just going to run all over the Lions defense. I don't think they stand a chance. It does look like Kenny Galladay will be back. So Matt Stafford should have some more weapons there, but you're going to see the Lions playing from behind. None of the Lions running backs are appealing. All of the Lions wide receivers are appealing for that reason. I don't think they're going to establish a good run game, and I don't think they have enough of a bell cow. I don't think they have enough direction for you to trust any of their running backs. Meanwhile, the Cardinals, I like all of them. You know, Dan Arnold, I don't hate Dan Arnold. The Lions linebackers and safeties did not do a good job against any of the Bears tight ends. The Bears tight ends should have had three touchdowns in their week one game. And so Dan Arnold is a sneaky DFS play. If you're looking for the bottom of the barrel, cheapest option, Dan Arnold is there. And I think because of the struggles that the Lions have had against tight ends, I think Dan Arnold could be a start. Obviously, you want to weigh that in, but I think the Cardinals like to throw the ball. They're going to run up the score. They're going to run a lot of offensive plays, and so obviously you're starting all the normal guys, but Dan Arnold has just a sneaky appeal this week for me. Now, Buccaneers Broncos with Drew Lock, with Cortland Sutton both out. This is gonna be a weird game. I think the Buccaneers handle this one, but you're really not sure what you're gonna get from Jeff Driskel. Or the Broncos just signed Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles could come out and get some snaps here. You're really unsure, so I don't like any of the Broncos pass catchers. But when you do have a backup quarterback come in, that's where you automatically give the tight end a boost. And so I think, and now that I'm thinking about this, this kind of seems to be the case across the league, is that tight ends have elevated. Tight ends have moved into a possible flex option. And so Irv Smith here looks, or not Irv Smith, Noah Fant looks like he could be a very viable option moving forward, especially with Cortland Sutton out. You're looking for the big-bodied guy that the backup quarterback can rely on and to win the easy matchups. If you look at his size-adjusted speed, if you look at his athletic measurables, it's absolutely phenomenal. And when you have backup quarterbacks step into that starting role, that's where the tight ends flourish. And so Noah Fant is going to be a good option this week and moving forward. I think it's going to be absolutely awesome play for him. Buccaneers, all of them should play well, right? Chris Godwin should be back. Mike Evans will be Mike Evans. This is not a good Broncos team, but the direction they seem to be going is Leonard Fournette being the starting running back. Now, does he deserve that? I don't know. I think he's probably better than Ronald Jones. Most of his production came from a couple big plays. Well, that last big touchdown run that he had to seal the game, that's where most of his production came. So Leonard Fournette is an interesting start for me. I think the Broncos are banged up enough. I think they're going to have to run the ball enough where he'll have fantasy appeal. But most people are looking at Leonard Fournette as the starting running back for the Buccaneers right now, and I'm not fully sold. I personally would sell Leonard Fournette. I think his value is hitting another peak. When he got signed to the Buccaneers, that was a peak there. I would have sold him then. Then he didn't get the start right away. Ronald Jones started eating into it, and now he had a big game. I think now is your time to sell Leonard Fournette. I do not like Leonard Fournette this season for fantasy. I just think that this is not an offense that's geared towards him. I think he's going to have some success, but he's not a guy that I want to invest in long term. He's just not. And so I think you have to find these value peaks, and I think you have to sell, because right now with all the starting running backs going down, people are desperate to overpay for running backs. People are desperate to get running backs. And if you have Leonard Fournette, I think you can get a king's ransom for him because of the last week, because it's a Bruce Arians offense, because Bruce Arians uses running backs, yada, yada, yada. If I have Leonard Fournette, which I don't anywhere because I was not in on him this season, if I have Leonard Fournette, I am selling him immediately. I think you can get far more at this point with Christian McCaffrey going out, with Saquon Barkley going out. I think you can get so much more in value for Leonard Fournette than he is going to return your team this season. I think it's going to be a split backfield. I think Ronald Jones is going to be just enough of a problem to where Leonard Fournette is not going to be handed the keys to the kingdom. And so when you're looking to sell these guys high, is this someone that is going to give me more value than I'm going to get? James Robinson is in the opposite category. If you sell James Robinson right now, people aren't fully sold on him. He's going to return so much more value for your team if you keep him on your roster, if you do not sell, because he's going to score more points and you're not going to be able to get as much as you would want. There's no way you get the first round pick for James Robinson. Leonard Fournette now is in that category where he's had historical success. He's in a Bruce Arians offense. You could get a rookie first round pick for him. You could get this draft capital. You could grab a wide receiver that you need for who is, in my opinion, a question mark, and who, in my opinion, is going to be more of a detriment to your team, wondering do you start him or not every week, than he is an asset to your team. So I would move Leonard Fournette, and that's my biggest opinion on that game, really. Packers-Saints should be a fun one. We'll see if Devontae Adams plays. Hamstring injury has been bothering him. We'll see if Michael Thomas plays with his ankle. It's looking like both of them are trending towards not playing. I wouldn't be surprised if Devontae Adams did end up playing. I don't think Michael Thomas will make it in this game. If either of them play, you have to start them. They're not going to run them out there and have their number one wide receivers out there in seasons where they both think that they can make deep playoff runs. You're not going to have them run out there early. If they're out there, they're going to play and they're going to produce. This is not a situation where you have someone go out just to be a decoy. Those are guys that are, if they're on the field, they're going to produce, and so you have to start them. Alvin Kamara is one of the biggest starts in fantasy. Same with Aaron Jones. Like, this is a game where you're very excited to watch. I don't know who's going to win. I think the Saints defense choked away the last game, and that was pretty tough to watch. I don't know that the Packers have played anyone of consequence yet, and so this will be a good test for both of them. This is going to be a playoff matchup. I expect both these teams to make the playoffs. So I really like this game. I think you should see a pretty solid total score. Honestly, Jared Cook is an attractive option. Traquan Smith, another attractive option there in this Saints offense if Michael Thomas does not play. You're really going to have to keep your eye on that, and because Drew Brees is going to sling it. Drew Brees is going to have to throw the ball somewhere. Alvin Kamara is going to be the biggest beneficiary. He's going to score infinity points. Aaron Jones is going to score a ton of points yet again if Devontae Adams is out. So this is a game of, is the alpha wide receiver going to play? And if not, who is going to be the guy? So you have Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling on one side. You have Jared Cook. You have Traquan Smith on the other side. And both running backs are going to eat. So I expect this to be a high-scoring game. I expect the quarterbacks to sling the ball. And so if the number one wide receivers are not in the game, look to one of those other guys that I just mentioned, because someone is going to have to pop off. Someone is going to have to score outside of Alvin Kamara. Someone is going to have to score outside of Aaron Jones. You want to have those wide receivers on your team. You want to have Jared Cook. You want to have Traquan. You want to have MBS. And you want to have Alan Lazard. It's going to be a fireworks show. And then lastly, the Monday night primetime game, Chiefs versus Ravens. This is going to be an interesting one for the Chiefs. They did not look great against the Chargers. And the Ravens have a significantly better defense than the Chargers did. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how this offense looks. They're going to have to come out guns a-blazing. They cannot have the start they did last week. Tyreek Hill is going to have to get into the game earlier than the second half. So again, you're looking at the run game for the Ravens. And honestly, I think they should do pretty well. The Chargers ran all over them. The Chargers looked very good running the ball against the Chiefs, and I think you're going to see production. I don't know that anyone has the enough volume to start. They used Gus Edwards a lot. They used J.K. Dobbins a little bit. They used Mark Ingram a lot. So, I mean, if I'm starting a running back, I'm starting Mark Ingram just because I trust him the most. But this is a game where you can probably see all three of them have decent production, which is super, super frustrating fantasy-wise. And then Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown receiving the ball should do fairly well. You had Justin Herbert throw the ball really, really well. The Chiefs defense is not suited to take on a true tight end one. So Mark Andrews should have an excellent game. Not that you're sitting Mark Andrews, but this is a defense that the Chiefs just did not look that good. They had a rookie quarterback come out and just run all over them, throw the ball everywhere. He was slinging it. And Lamar Jackson is significantly better than Justin Herbert. So I expect the Ravens to get out and keep scoring points, which means Patrick Mahomes is going to have to keep scoring points. And so this is another game where you're going to see a high points total. And Patrick Mahomes really challenged. This is going to be another fun game to watch. My top three games that I'm excited to watch: Chiefs Ravens, obviously, Packers Saints, obviously. And then Cowboys Seahawks. Those are the games where I expect the scoring to be just off the charts. And you know, I'm just excited to have football back. We're week three, and there have been no positive test for these players. It's been incredible. Obviously, a lot of injuries, and I think maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. Maybe I'll put out a tweet thread about what these teams can do to prevent that, so to prevent more injuries. So it's been a little frustrating. It's been a little frustrating injury-wise. You would hope for a healthier season, but you know, I'm just excited we have football back, and I think you all are too. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Next week, hopefully, we'll have Jetpack back. We'll be talking more football week 4 preview. Hopefully, my Bears are 3-0. It's kind of a prove-it game for them. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. Make sure you go and listen to the Fantasy Nightcap podcast if you have not already. And as always, I am your host, Guy Fieri, and the Fantasy Football Astronauts are blasting off again.